Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense to him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and healed them. He was amazed by their lack of faith." Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out, two by two, and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not on an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that to many people. They drove out many demons and anointed with oil many people who were ill and healed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, once again, we'd like to thank you for gathering us like this. Thank you, Lord, that we can take time this Sunday morning to pause about life, especially when someone dear to us has returned home to you. And it is times like this that we pause and we wait on God's word, that God's word will come down and touch our hearts and our minds. And this, we certainly pray, Lord, that you make these scriptures dear to our hearts and that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts, for we need a word from you. So our prayer this morning as we receive the words of this scripture are the prayers of Samuel, little Samuel the boy. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Even after I had graduated with a bachelor's degree from Sydney University, Australia, and returned home to Malaysia as an adult, my parents still said the same things to me as they would have said to me before I reached the age of 10. If you don't wear a sweater this cold morning, you're going to get your cold. Please don't eat too many eggs. There's too much cholesterol in them. Please don't mix with those people. They are bad company. So, in the eyes of my parents, although I might have graduated from university and had a bachelor's degree, I was frozen as this 9-year-old boy, still going to primary school. I felt that my parents could not treat me like the adult I had become. In their estimation, I was still that boy of 9 needing their advice for life. So, for the people in that synagogue in Nazareth, those people could not get beyond the image of the little boy Jesus who attended Sabbath school or Sunday school, as we would call it. And they still thought of him as the son of Mary, who gave birth, who traveled a long journey to Bethlehem to give birth to him. We remember his father who was a carpenter in our little village. Didn't he take up the trade of his father? This Jesus is not a rabbi. He's not a teacher. He might speak with such authority in our synagogue, but he is still the boy Jesus we know. When Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at Jesus. They took offense at the little boy Jesus who now comes back and preaches with such authority in their little synagogue. The people of the hometown of Jesus, Nazareth, reject him. And how does Jesus respond to them? And let us read together now how Jesus responds to them. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village." So, I am sure that Jesus is disheartened at the lack of faith shown to him by the people who know him so well at Nazareth. But he does not let this get to him. He carries on his ministry with the little in Nazareth that choose to believe in him. Even though Nazareth gives up on Jesus, Jesus does not give up on Nazareth. And besides not letting this rejection by Nazareth get to him, he still carries on his ministry to the other villages of that province of Galilee. In fact, he expands it by sending out the 12 disciples two by two. And this is what the end of the passage that Ian read to us this morning says. They went out and preached that many people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed with oil many people who were ill and healed them. So they had success in the other villages of Galilee except for Jesus' hometown, Nazareth. And we must not let the success of Jesus and his disciples create an illusion in our lives that a life serving Jesus is easy. It is not. Jesus experienced rejection in the hands of the people he grew up with in Nazareth. And we too will experience rejection in the same way Jesus does if we live our lives for Jesus. I had to contend with my parents even more after I had returned from Australia from my studies. When I was in Australia, I had such a great experience with the Christian Fellowship group on campus that I decided that after 3 years of working in the marketplace, I would want to go to Regent College, which is a graduate theological school in Vancouver. And I just wanted to get grounded in God's word, as you like, to do some biblical and theological studies after the 3 years of working in a marketplace so that I will be grounded, if you like, for the rest of life. And when I broke out this news to my parents, they were not in favor of that suggestion at all. Well, after all, they are ordinary Chinese-Malaysian parents who want to give their two sons a great bachelor's degree, grab them, get them involved in a career, and marry someone, and have kids, and live happily ever after. Okay? But my parents were Christians. However, they were finding that it was in tension with what I call the normal desires of Chinese Malaysian parents. And then a miracle happened. God moved my parents to see that God was leading me. And when I went to Regent College, they even supported me financially during my stint there. But this is just to show you that Jesus' experience in Nazareth is an illustration of the rejection we can experience in our lives when we live our lives for Jesus. And this is the reason why. We all try to live our lives as Christians, and people tend to classify us or the Jesus we believe, so us or the Jesus we believe, into the categories they have thought up, right? People, when they talk to each other, they usually size up people and then they freeze people, if you like, into categories that they have thought up. And so people classify us or the Jesus we believe according to the categories they think. And they don't want to be, if you like, affected in their categorization. And then when we move beyond their categorization, when we show them that there's more to this life than trying to get a lot of money and getting status in this life, and when we show them that we go to church every Sunday and Jesus means a lot to us, they start becoming uncomfortable with us. They start to criticize us. To live our lives for Jesus is to invite rejection into our lives. So it is important to note that as Jesus sends out the 12, two by two, he sends them with his authority and presence. Calling the 12 to them, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. So there's this authority that the author of the book Mark tells us that Jesus has. But there's also the challenge of Nazareth in that passage. Because the people of Nazareth cannot get over the fact that Jesus is more than a mere carpenter. They cannot get over the fact that he is more than the son of Mary. So if Jesus is not this mere carpenter, and if Jesus of Nazareth is not the mere son of Mary, and is not the brothers of Judas and Simon and the other brothers he has, who is Jesus? Right at the very beginning of Mark tells us who Jesus is in the baptism of Jesus. Let's read the baptismal account of Jesus in Mark chapter 1. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So, Jesus is born of Mary in Bethlehem. He grows up in Nazareth as a son of the carpenter Joseph. He visits Jerusalem when he's 12 and he impresses the Jewish religious leaders there. But apart from that, the account of Jesus from his birth to the time when he's 30, when he starts his ministry, is very, very little in the Gospels. So in the book of Mark, he appears out of nowhere. He appears from this little village of Nazareth, and he is baptized by John in the River Jordan. And then Mark tells us, heaven tears open. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. God the Father speaks from heaven. God the Father, whom we pray as our Heavenly Father in the Lord's Prayer, speaks. And he speaks to Jesus and John the Baptist and those in the River Jordan, and he says, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in this declaration at the baptism of Jesus of Nazareth by John the Baptist. Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. What does this mean? It means that Jesus of Nazareth is God who becomes a human being. It is God who comes down to save us from our sins and the power of the devil. This is the authority that Jesus shares with his followers, the authority of the Son of God. And so therefore, when we move out in the authority of Jesus, we move out with the authority of God. And when God declares at Jesus' baptism that "You are my son, and with you I am well pleased," it means that Jesus might be a carpenter, but he is more than a carpenter. It means that Jesus might be the son or is the son of Mary, but he is more than being the son of Mary. God has begun his mission of reclaiming and redeeming creation and the people he created through Jesus of Nazareth. And so when we reach out to others for Jesus, we are involved with God's mission of reclaiming and redeeming creation and the people he created. We are partners together with God in his mission of reclaiming and redeeming creation and the people he created. Last night, as I was reflecting, I decided to see the testimony that Patrick gave to us on March the 6th. And somewhere towards the end of his testimony, he actually encourages us to keep on praying. And when he encourages us to keep on praying, he actually says in his testimony that God, and I'm paraphrasing Patrick here, God is involved with our lives. God is answering our prayers. God is being present with us. And sometimes he might not give answers to our prayers the way we want him to give answers to our prayers, but God is with us. And God is helping us through life. So, when Jesus asks his followers to go out for him, this is what he says, and he gives them the assurance that he is with us. These were his instructions: "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." At first reading, it is very tall instructions. However, if Jesus truly is the Son of God, if Jesus truly is the person, even though he might be from that little village Nazareth, if Jesus is truly God who becomes a human being to save us from our sins and from the power of the devil, then he is with us when he asks us to go out for him. And the first thing he does is to tell them, travel light. Travel light. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. And as I say these words, I ask myself, how can we practice these words of Jesus in 21st century in a greater Toronto area in which life is full of possessions and things? The first century followers of Jesus certainly did not put down roots. They moved from place to place. They traveled light. Their priority was people, not possessions and things. And secondly, he tells them, to build relationships. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so Jesus tells his followers that if a house receives and welcomes them, stay there and share the good news with them. Build relationships with them. However, if they reject you, don't let that get to you. Move to the next house. However, if they reject you, don't let that get to you. Move to the next house. Do you hear echoes of Nazareth in those instructions? However, Jesus does not give up on Nazareth, even though Nazareth gives up on Jesus. And let us put this in perspective, okay? Jesus is the Son of God, God who becomes a human being, and he comes from a little village of Nazareth. If it were not for scriptures, for the Gospels, Nazareth would be an unknown village. But because Jesus is called Jesus of Nazareth, Nazareth is on our lips today because of the scriptures. In those days, coming out of Nazareth would be like coming out from a northern Ontario town like Kapuskasing. I hope I got that pronunciation correct. Okay. And yet, this remains Jesus' identity even to the time he rises from the dead. And this is what the angel says to the women at the empty tomb. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." So the angel who tells the women at the tomb that Jesus is alive, Christ is risen, calls him Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. Even though Nazareth gives up on Jesus, Jesus does not give up on Nazareth. Let's pray. Lord, we know that as we go on through life, as we live our lives for you, we will indeed encounter rejection. Because people in this life find it difficult to figure us out as the followers of Jesus, let alone to figure out Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you that he is with us as we move out of here. And as we move out of here to our lives on Monday, we carry Jesus of Nazareth with us. Or should I say, Jesus of Nazareth carries us. And we pray, Lord, for strength and courage to remember that as we live our lives for Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth is with us. And when we experience rejection in Jesus' name, Jesus himself has experienced rejection, even from his hometown of Nazareth. And so we walk the footsteps of Jesus in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.